Today we're going to pick back up with the Connected Life series, and our scripture today is going to be from Nehemiah chapter 4, and I'm going to be, Elijah, jumping down to verse number 12, okay? So I'm not quite sure how you divided it up, but let's jump down to verse 12 and look at the scripture reading for today. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, "You must return to us." So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." So this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to come back in just a moment and unpack what's going on here in the book of Nehemiah, where we just read. But first of all, I want to talk to you about something that I think we all, especially as parents, deal with from as we're raising our kids. You know, we didn't mean to. You know, right from a very early age, we give our kids access to digital technology. You know, and when we give it to them, we never think that with this device comes the potential to open them up, to open their little hearts up to this great big world that's full of danger. A world that has not their best interest at heart. You know, when we give our kids access to maybe our old iPhones or an iPad or something, a lot of times it becomes because we want to be able to keep them safe. And so we put apps on there like Life 360. My wife and daughter were traveling this weekend, and the whole time they were on the trip, you know, I was pulling up my Life 360 to see where they were, and you know, I could see how fast my wife's driving. You know, I'll say most of the time she stayed within 5 miles of the speed limit. But we're checking in on them, right? We want to keep them safe, and we want to follow and see where they are and what's going on with them. You know, a lot of times we want to try to increase connection with our kids and help them to increase it with their friends. So, you know, you got a phone or an iPad or something like that. You can send messages to them. You can, you know, if you need them, you got access to them. You can just buzz them up, send a message or whatever. You know, another reason we put devices in our kids' hands at an early age is to entertain them. Let's just be honest. I mean, you're in a car, you're driving a long time, you know, just want to keep them pacified for a little bit and stop asking every 5 minutes, are we there yet? And so we load up Bluey or Paw Patrol, or when my kids were little, it was like Thomas the Tank Engine or Bob the Builder. I mean, we could put stuff on there like that, and they would stay pacified forever. And that was always something that we were trying to do as parents. You know, we need a break sometimes. So we don't know that when we give them access to these things that there can be some dangers out there. Let me tell you about what happened one day. I call it the day I heard the strange music. All right, so when we were in Tupelo at the Methodist Church there, the house that we lived in was right behind the church. And my son Ethan, our oldest, who's now 24, sorry. He was about 9 or 10 years old at that time. And so he had been at the church on this Wednesday afternoon going to choir practice with all the other kids. And, you know, he had some friends, and so he brought them over to the house after choir practice, and they all disappeared down the hallway. Just on the left was where my study was. And so they disappeared in there, and then it got quiet. Y'all know the kind of quiet I'm talking about, right? When kids are... they're laughing, they're having a good time, they're cutting up like boys do, but then it just got eerie, quiet, and then I heard it. The strange music coming down the hallway. It wasn't cartoon music. It wasn't the theme song to VeggieTales. No, 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 no. It wasn't video game music. It was this low, rhythmic background music that was smooth and slow. And my stomach dropped. I'm like, what are they into back there? And so I bolted down the hallway, go through the door, and there are these like four little boys staring at this screen on the laptop computer. And they see me come in, and it's like, wham, they slam it shut. And I'm like, what was that? And they just, you know, got really silent. And I found out that they were on YouTube trying to find some videos of silly men doing stunts. Silly stunts. And something else came up. Something else that you, as parents, it makes your heart sink to think about what might be lurking out there. And so that day, I realized that I needed to become a guardian of the digital world. Like, I need to put my super cape on as a dad, and I need to get involved in all of this technology stuff and setting up parameters and boundaries and all of these things that we live with in our world today to try to protect our kids. You know, we never want to think about our kids or ourselves being exposed to things that want to exploit us, tempt us, to entrap us, or give access to our lives of things that are trying to shape us in negative ways. But it happens sometimes. Without even noticing, something happens. You know, we get into the digital world. We start comparing ourselves with other people. We start just endlessly scrolling on our devices. We're constantly accessing information, and not all of it is good or helpful or even true. And so we find ourselves, if we're not honest, just like our kids can, we find ourselves trapped. It can happen to any one of us. You know, when it comes to our devices and digital technology and all that stuff, it seems like a necessary part of life today, doesn't it? I mean, we can't just like completely remove access to these things. We need these things in our lives to just function in a lot of ways. But if we're not careful, though, we realize that they can create a lot of damage in our lives. That they can, like I said, make us feel trapped or dependent upon these things, and also disconnect us from each other. So some of y'all are raising kids of your own. You know these struggles. You're raising grandkids. Some of you are mentoring or teaching young people, or you're simply just trying to guard your own heart. I mean, all of us are dealing with these things on some level. And here's something I want you to think of as you think about your own struggles in your home and in your own heart when it comes to things that we're accessing and we have infiltrating into our lives. I want you to know something that Jesus says. Jesus says in John's gospel, he says, if the Son sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Y'all, we sometimes find ourselves in places that create a lot of guilt and shame. You know, we think about ourselves as parents. Sometimes, you know, we haven't gotten all this technology stuff right. And I know Debbie and I, as we were talking about some of this stuff this week, we were acknowledging that we haven't always done what we needed to do because we're trying to figure it out. It felt like on our own a lot of times. And, you know, there have been some mistakes along the way. And we carry that guilt. And even in our own lives, we're on the stuff too much at times. We need freedom from these things. We need what Jesus talks about here. We need a better way. We need change in our life. And in order to experience freedom and experience change, we have to know what the enemy is, of what is robbing us of those things. You know, the scriptures are clear that when we're in this world, we are engaged in a spiritual battle. There is a spiritual enemy that is working against us. And yes, that enemy lurks in the digital world too. There is evil out there. Y'all, we see it so much going on in our news about all these things that have been happening. You know, we think about Beth Israel and their congregation being attacked and their sanctuary burned, and we think about all the violence, and we think about all these things, and it's a scary place out there. And we also know that a lot of times people are motivated by stuff they're reading online. It can be a scary place. The enemy will use things, all things, for evil. And we have to be aware of that. Peter, when he's writing to the congregation in his first letter, in chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Be alert, be sober-minded. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion." Y'all, every generation is targeted by our spiritual enemy. The tools change, but the strategy stays the same. And right now, one of the enemy's most effective tools is something that every one of us has in our hand, in our pocket, in our purse, or lying on our nightstand at night. Our smart device. So what do we do? How are we vigilant? How do we protect ourselves? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you lock your door at night? Y'all lock your doors at night? Okay, a bunch of y'all don't. Okay. So, I guess. Well, we lock our door. You know, that's the last thing I do every night. I turn the lights off, I put the dog up, and I make sure all the doors are locked. I hit the beeper on my car, make sure it's locked up, because in my car is a thing that opens my garage door, right? So you got to protect yourself. You got to think about all these things in the world we live in. And the reason that we lock our doors at night is because we want to protect our loved ones and our stuff. Well, in the ancient world, how did they protect themselves? Like, go back to Nehemiah's time. Think about how life was. So people lived in these little walled cities, and they were spread out all over the place. And these walled cities had these really high walls, and you could only access the city through these gates. And each of the gates had a gatekeeper. There was someone there. That gatekeeper's job was really simple. Was to guard what comes in and what goes out of that city. It was there for protection. Now, when you think about how our lives are kind of structured today, we think about our homes. What is the main entrance into your home today? For a lot of us, it's the garage. I know when I go visit people, they're like, "Don't come to the front door. I don't even think it works anymore." I'm like, "Yes, ma'am. Where do I come? Jump through the window? Come through the garage." Absolutely right. But have you ever thought about this? Another door into your home is your online connection. It's your phone. It's your computer. That is a front door into your private space, into your life. Every home has gates. Every heart has a gate. Someone decides what goes in and what stays out. We all have a gate. Scripture gives us a powerful picture about how to guard the vulnerable places of our lives. How do we protect our homes? How do we protect our children? How do we protect our hearts, our habits? What influences our life? We need a gatekeeper. Now in Nehemiah 4, so this book was written at the end of the exile period. So y'all, if you know your Old Testament history, you know how the Assyrians and the Babylonians, they were superpowers way back in like the 7th, 8th century BC, and how they attacked and they destroyed the Israelite nation. There was actually two nations. There was Israel to the north and Judah at the bottom. In the 8th century, the Assyrians come and attack the northern kingdom. They destroy the cities and they take people off as prisoners of war into this thing called exile. And then later in the 6th century, again, the Babylonians come and attack the southern kingdom of Judah, where all of the kings were the descendants of David. And they destroy the city of Jerusalem. They tear apart the beautiful temple that Solomon built. And they haul off a lot of the leaders of that nation into exile back in Babylon. One of those people was a guy by the name of Nehemiah, who wrote this book. Now, at some point later, about maybe 40 years after the exile, they petition a new king, a Persian king, King Cyrus, who is now ruling over the world. He's one of the leaders. And they petition him to allow the Jews to go back and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah is one of the first ones to get to go back and do that. And his job was to rebuild the walls. So they have to secure the city before they can begin to build the temple again. And so Nehemiah comes, and the walls have been broken down, the gates are burned, and so Nehemiah assesses the situation, and he stations families at the vulnerable weak spots around the city to protect it against its enemies who do not want the Jews to repopulate that city. And you can read all about that in the first 3.5 chapters. Now, so Nehemiah is stationing the people at the vulnerable and weak spots. That's what we read about just a moment ago. Why does Nehemiah do that? To protect against the enemies from attacking these vulnerable places. And so Nehemiah, he's encouraging the folks as they're rebuilding and working. They're constantly being attacked by people, and they're wanting to disrupt all of this work that they're doing. And so Nehemiah gives this pep talk, and he says, fight for your families, fight for your sons, your daughters, your homes. You know, it's like a Braveheart moment, you know. That's what I think about every time I read that pep talk that Nehemiah's given. He's like, by the way, have any of y'all seen Braveheart? None of the kids raise their hands. Probably don't need to watch that movie. You know, we watched a lot of crazy stuff in the 90s. That's why we're all messed up today. But that movie was like, guys, man, you watch that movie and then you tear your shirt off, put on face paint, and run through the yard. I mean, it just pumped you up and get you all excited to go to war, play flag football. I don't know. But this is what Nehemiah is doing. He's encouraging them, hey, guys, don't forget what you're fighting for. Hold the line. Stand strong. Protect your children, your wives, your families, our city. And as I think about that, it makes me wonder, like, where are our weak points? Where are the vulnerable places in our homes and our hearts? You know, when I think about that, I think about the things that influence us, things that influence our thinking, that shape our values, shape our identities, that teaches us what is important, what's not important, what is true, what is not true. Y'all, there's so much information. There's so many TikTok reels. There's so many videos, and there's all this information just constantly being pumped at us. And it makes life challenging sometimes. Lots of things, lots of people telling us what to think and believe and what to do and what to buy. You know, it just comes at us in so many different ways. You know, I think about stuff out there in the digital world too that is meant to exploit our weaknesses and temptations. Y'all, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all something, okay? I bought a car in December, okay? The car that I bought was a car that I had several years ago. It's a little convertible. It's a Mazda Miata. I am a Miata fan, okay? That's me. And I spent the whole holiday season looking for this car. And I told my wife, I'm turning 50 this year, so Jimmy's going to buy a toy, okay? I'm going to buy myself a toy to celebrate 50. And this toy is the Mazda Miata, okay? So I became obsessed with trying to find this car that I had, you know, one like it. You know, I wasn't going to find the car because I tracked it down, and it's in Pensacola, Florida, and yada, yada, yada. So Jimmy had to find another car. So I found this car, and so I bought this car. It's in the garage right now, and it has a cover over it. And my wife says, are you not ever going to drive this car? And I said, no, this is a collector's car, okay? Jimmy's going to have this car forever, and then I'll pass it on to one of my kids. And so I've been tinkering on this car. You know, I've been looking at modifications, you know, what kind of coilovers I need on it, you know, how to super tune the engine to get more horsepower out of it. You know, Jimmy's been doing all of this stuff. And guess what? The more I dive in to the Facebook forums, to the Amazon shopping cart stuff and Google, all of this stuff, guess what? Keeps showing up every time I go online. All this stuff that I need for my car, right? And it just becomes this endless thing that's just, it's becoming too much. And I've realized that I've got to disengage from this stuff for a while. But y'all, that is a weakness of mine. In the digital world, the algorithms are meant to exploit that. If we let it, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all have been shopping for like lipstick and all these face creams and, you know, all of that stuff. Or you've been looking for scopes for your new deer rifle. Yeah? You know? It's coming at us. How do we protect those gates? Well, we gotta first assess the gates. We got to know where the vulnerable places are in our life. We have to get honest with ourselves. We have to think about how our devices are influencing and shaping us. You know, do you find yourself always engaging in conversation with people? No matter what the conversation is about, you bend it towards something you read about online. You know what I'm talking about? Or you find yourself endlessly researching stuff that eats up your time. What is influencing you? What gates are vulnerable? You know, for some of us, it's the iPhone, it's the night scrolling, it's the constant news feeds, comparing ourselves to others. It's all of these things. We have to be aware of what we let in. Now, how do we protect ourselves? You know, so we become aware of where our weak points are, what dangers are lurking out there. You know, as parents, we've got to monitor our kids' devices when they're little. We got to help them to understand how to set up parameters on there. You know, we as parents have to put limits and boundaries on apps and screen time and things like that, and we do those things. But what about for yourself? Are you modeling good behavior there? Or are you constantly on the phone? Like my daughter said to me the other day, you're always on that phone. I'm like, you know, you're right. You know, I need to unplug from that. Set that thing aside. Turn it off. And disengage from it. So we're all gatekeepers. So what can we do? Well, we have to limit what harms us, okay? Adults, we need phone-free zones. Is it mealtime, devotion time, when we're with our friends? Phone-free zones. Maybe we need to explore that a little more, putting time limits on our usage. As I said, we need to model healthy habits. Examine our own vulnerabilities. One of the things I did this week, and maybe I'll put an article out or something about it later, but y'all know the seven deadly sins that we read about in the Bible? I was thinking about how my phone, how the stuff that I access through it exploits each of those seven deadly sins, those weak points in our lives. You know, when it comes to envy or greed or wrath, if we're not careful, the digital stuff exploits that in your heart. So I've been looking at those things and trying to understand better so that I can model better habits for my kids. One of the last things that I will mention here about how we can be good gatekeepers in our homes, our hearts, is we have to keep conversation open. We have to, for those of us that have kids, have ongoing conversations about the stuff they're interacting with online. Like recently, my son Landon fell for one of these catfishing scams where he got, I think it was a text or an email that said he needed to send some personal information, like his debit card, to this UPS store so that his package could be released. I mean, here we're talking about a kid that's like 19 years old, and he fell for that. And so he put his debit card number out there, and then he realized, you know, something didn't feel right about this. So he calls me, and I'm like, Landon, that's a scam. You can't fall for those kinds of things. I said, go to the bank right now and tell them what's going on and cancel that debit card. And he did. Thankfully, nothing bad happened as a result of it, but it became a teaching moment because we're having those conversations. Y'all, God has entrusted something to you, your home, your influence, your kids, your time, your heart. So you are a gatekeeper. These things have been entrusted to you to guard and protect. You are a gatekeeper. So just like Paul says to the church in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, he says, you have to keep watch over yourselves and the flock that God has entrusted to you. We have to be diligent. And that includes parents, grandparents, mentors, and all of us as Christians. We have to guard our hearts. And here's the thing. Y'all, we don't stand guard on our own. You know, just like we were singing about earlier, we worship a God who is our protector. God who is a guardian in our lives. And the Lord wants to help us to protect against the vulnerabilities and the attacks of the enemy. And so God, if we stay connected, if we ask God to help us, I know He will. He gives us discernment and wisdom. He helps us to know that His grace is always with us because we fail sometimes. We get entrapped by things. We get addicted to things. And we know that it can pull us away from the things we need to be investing in and focusing on. But God is there to offer us grace and to give us strength to make good decisions because He is a guardian over our hearts and souls. So as we think about how we might respond this week, where is one gate you need to protect in your life? Where's your vulnerabilities right now? Your family, where are you vulnerable? Y'all, let's be diligent in protecting ourselves. Now, technology, it's here to stay. It's a part of our lives. It's a good thing. But there are also things out there within that world that are not good. So let's be vigilant. Let's be prayerful. And let's ask God to show us how to live different. Let us pray. God, this morning, we know that there are struggles that we all face in our lives when it comes with technology use today. But God, you have entrusted us with our hearts and our homes and our influence. God, help show us the places, the gates that need guarding. The places where distraction and fear or comparison have crept in. Lord, give us wisdom to protect what matters most. Courage to set loving boundaries in our life for ourselves and our families. Lord, help us to model healthy habits in how we use and interact with technology. And may, when we are interacting in those spaces with the world out there, I pray that you would help us not to lose our religion. But Lord, know that our witness goes with us even into those spaces. Lord, we know that for some of us, there have been some weaknesses and failures in our life where we've given in to the enemy. We've given the enemy a foothold. And we see the harmful effects of that in our life. God, today we just want to ask for your help. Lord, help us to be strong. Help us, Lord, to make good decisions. Help us to have wisdom. Forgive us when we fail. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to live into the freedom that you have for us in every area of our life so that we don't become enslaved or entrapped by anything. So give us your freedom, I pray, Lord. Give us your wisdom. Help us to enter into deeper connection with you and with one another. Help us to take our next faithful step in making that a priority in our life this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll leave you guys with this benediction this morning. As you go, may God help you guard what matters most in your life. May Christ free you from anything that steals your joy, anything that robs you of His presence. And may the Spirit guide your steps and quiet your heart this week. And may your life be marked by deep connection to our Heavenly Father and deeper connection to one another. Go in peace. God bless you.